This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
Where are the dead between death and the judgment? Are they asleep in some unconscious state? Do they go to some intermediate state? Or do men go immediately to their final reward? I think we would like to know everything God has to say about every subject. But God just wants us to live in one world at the time. So the door has been shut on some things that we would like to know about the future life. However, if there's anything that has been revealed, I believe that we have a right to know it. And so we want to talk about this today. Where are the dead?
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
Now, Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29 says that the things that are revealed belong to man, and the things that have not been revealed belong to God. That is, there are just some things that God has not revealed. So all we're going to do is be looking at the Bible to see what the Bible says about where are the dead. First of all, we need to understand that man is a composite being. He is composed of body and spirit. In Job chapter 32 and 8, Job said, "There is a spirit in man," and indeed there is. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 15, Daniel said, "I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body." Then in the book of Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 1, there the prophet said, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundations of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him." So man is a composite being, not just flesh and blood. There is a spirit within man. And life is the state or condition while the body and the spirit are united. In James the second chapter and verse 26, the Bible there reads like this: "As the body without the spirit is dead, even so faith without works is dead, being alone." There's the separation of the spirit from the body at death. Solomon wrote about that in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, when he said that the man goes to his long home and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit to God who gave it. In Genesis chapter 35 and verse 18, speaking of one of the matriarchs of old, it is said, while her spirit was a departing. There was a young man who died, 1 Kings chapter 17, and the prophet came and to raise the child from the dead. And the Bible says in verse 22, the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. So you see, man is a composite being of flesh and spirit. And there is a spirit or soul within man. Now, when we die, the spirit does not die. Jesus and the thief were together on the cross. You remember the thief said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Today, you're going to be with me in paradise." That's in verse 43 of Luke, the 23rd chapter. Now, there was something in Jesus that departed while the body was left in the hands of his friends. Now, Jesus had said in verse 46 of Luke chapter 23, he said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Now, there was something that left his body. His body was put in the grave, and yet Jesus and the penitent thief on the cross were together in a place called paradise. Now, in Acts, the 7th chapter, we learn about the death of a man by the name of Stephen. We sometimes refer to Stephen as the first Christian martyr, the first person to give his life for Jesus Christ. Stephen was stoned to death. His body was in the hands of those that were stoning him. And yet he asked Jesus to receive his spirit. There his body lay mangled in the dust of the ground where they were stoning him to death, but he departed to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there are two sides to man. There's the outward man and there is the inward man. Paul wrote about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 when he said, "For which cause I faint not, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now, what you see of me right now is the outward man, but there is also an inward man. You see, the body of man is nothing more than a dwelling place for the Spirit. It is a tent to live in. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul wrote, "For we know that if there's earthly house of our tabernacle word is of, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Our existence is not dependent upon our being in the house, that is, in this body. We can be alive outside of the body. When the Spirit leaves the body, we still are alive. In Luke, the 20th chapter, Jesus is talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he said Moses mentioned this in Exodus, the 3rd chapter, when God appeared to Moses at the burning bush, that he was a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But God is not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living. But Jesus said that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, I conclude that if God is not the God of the dead but the living, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are still living. In the 17th chapter of Matthew is the occasion when Jesus was transfigured up on a mountain. Now, there are different ideas as to what mountain. That doesn't matter so far as our study is concerned. Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus at his transfiguration. One was representative of the intermediate state, and one was representative of the heavenly state. Here are two men who had been dead for hundreds of years, and yet they were still alive. In the book of Revelation, the 6th chapter, listen to what John said. "I saw under the altar the souls of them that were beheaded, that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held." What he saw were people who had died, but what did he see? "I saw their souls." These were slain souls that were conscious between death and the resurrection. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago." And then he makes this statement, "Whether he was in the body or out of the body, I know not. But this man was caught up into the third heaven." You see, to the Jewish mind, there were three heavens. The atmosphere around the earth was one heaven. Then the atmosphere up where the stars are is one heaven. And then where God is the third heaven. This man was caught up into a paradise, if you'll look in verse number 4. Whether in the body or out of the body, Paul said, I don't know. Now, some think that this may have reference to the occasion when Paul was left for dead at Lystra. Now, that's not revealed, so we do not know. But nonetheless, he said, I knew this man, and I know that this man was caught up into the third heaven. He was caught up into paradise, and he heard unspeakable things which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, here's what we want to learn from that. The existence of man is not dependent on being in the body. You see, man may not be in the body. He lives in the body, but he is still alive if he is outside the body. He could have been caught away to in the body or out of the body. Paul said, I really don't know. So you see, man does not die when there's the separation of the spirit of man from the body. The body is placed into the earth to await the resurrection of the dead, but the spirit of man continues to live. Now, here is the question that we propose to answer today, the best way we know from the Word of God. Where does the spirit go when we die? If the spirit is still alive, if the spirit still exists, where does the spirit go at death? Now, there are some that would tell us that the spirit goes to a place where there may be some second chance. You have another opportunity if you in this place. And, well, this is not Bible teaching. Listen to our Lord in John 8:21. And there Jesus said, if you die in your sins, that where I am, you can't come. That men may pay large sums of money for you after you're dead. They may pray prayers for you after you're dead. But the Bible teaches no such thing as a second chance. See, man's reward is predicated upon him being faithful to Jesus. Jesus, in Revelation 2:10, had John to write, Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. And there he's talking about being faithful even if you have to die for the faith. Being faithful even if it costs you your life. Then in Matthew 25:21, as well as verse 23, Jesus said, Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. So a man's reward is predicated upon his being faithful. Now some say that man goes immediately to his eternal reward. And one of the preachers in that I have known in my lifetime took that position. His son, who was also a preacher, disagreed with his own dad. So you say, well, maybe it doesn't matter. Well, we're trying to see what does the Bible teach. They say he goes immediately to his eternal reward. Jesus told the thief, today, I want you to listen carefully now. Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. But 3 days later, Jesus told the disciples to not touch him. This is in John 20:17. For I have not yet ascended to my Father. Jesus went to paradise, but Jesus had not gone to heaven. Now, there are those who say that at death, the spirit goes into an intermediate state, and it remains there until the day of judgment. If we're judged at death, there's not any need for a final judgment. Now, the day of judgment is coming. When Paul talked to Felix, he reasoned with him about righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. And the judgment is coming, and there will be a judgment of all people and of all nations. In the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, starting in verse 31, our Lord said, The Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all of his holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on the right hand and the goats, that is the lost, on the left. At this time, the righteous will receive their crowns. Now, I know there's some objections to that view. Someone says, what about 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6, where Paul said that to be absent from the body is to be present, that is, at home with the Lord. And what about Paul's statement in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23? I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. That seems to indicate in those two verses that you go immediately to your reward. But we can know from other passages of Scripture that this is not what these men are or Paul is indicating in these two places. There is a sense in which we go to be with the Father even in the intermediate state. Now, Jesus said before his death, into your hands I commend my spirit. But in Luke chapter 23 and verse 43, he told the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. And then in John chapter 20 and verse 17, he said he had not yet ascended to the Father. He departed to be with the Father even in the intermediate state. You know, and you can not go to Sheol, which is the Hebrew term for Hades, for the intermediate state without finding God. For example, in Psalms 139 and verse 8, David has said, if I make my bed in Sheol, that is in the grave, in the intermediate state, in the realm of the unseen, in that unseen realm where the spirit departs at death, then you find God even there. You see, men are not going to enter into heaven until Jesus comes again. Now, I've got some preacher friends that might not necessarily agree with that. And so, but let's think about what Jesus said about entering into heaven. Let me read to you from John chapter 14. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. What's he going to do when he comes again? And receive you unto myself, that where I am, where is Jesus at the right hand of God, there you may be also. It is said of David that he had not yet ascended to heaven, Acts chapter 2 and verse 34. But David had been dead for a long, long time. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said about the receiving of his reward. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day being the day of judgment, the end of time, and not to be only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. All these passages indicate that we will receive our reward when Jesus Christ comes again, and not before. Someone says, well, what do you mean, Brother Lambert, about an intermediate state? Well, in Luke's gospel, in the 16th chapter of Luke's gospel, Jesus said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, and moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes in torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And then his request was denied. So he said, well, what I want you to do now with Lazarus is send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify to them, lest they come into this place of torment. And he was told, that is impossible, because there is between us and you a great gulf fixed, so that those that would come from your side to this side cannot, and those that would come from here to there cannot. They were both in the realm of the unseen world, where the spirit goes at death, in the intermediate state. But there was a gulf between the two. You see, there are some terms I want us to look at. First of all, there's the word Hades. Now, in the King James Version, the word that's Hades in the Greek sometimes is translated hell. That might be an unfortunate translation. Hades is the realm of the dead. It is the common receptacle for disembodied spirits. Now, the word Sheol is a Hebrew word, and it's the Hebrew word for the same as Hades, that is, for the unseen world, where the spirit goes once it leaves the body. Now, paradise, on the other hand, is the abode of the righteous in Hades. Jesus told the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus' body was in the grave, but his spirit was in the unseen world. Now, there's another word that we want to think about, and that's the word Tartarus. And that is the abode of the wicked in Hades. The righteous are in paradise, and the wicked are in Tartarus. And that's a place of punishment. According to what Jesus taught about the rich man who died and lift up his eyes being in torments. Now, there's another word that's in the New Testament, and that is the word Gehenna. And that word is having reference to eternal punishment. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus said, fear not him who is able to destroy the body, but hath no power over the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and the body in hell. There the word is Gehenna. The late J.W. McGarvey, who was a great Bible scholar in an age gone by, said that the word Gehenna lies beyond the final judgment. Now, the place of punishment in the unseen world, that is, in the realm called Hades, is the word Tartarus. But after the judgment, it is the word Gehenna, and there will be punishment. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, Jesus said, and these shall go away into everlasting life, but the ungodly are going into everlasting or eternal punishment. So there's going to be an eternal punishment for those who lie in the next world. Now, here's my conclusion. The righteous dead go to paradise. The wicked go to Tartarus. Let me give you an example. This comes out of the book of 1 Samuel chapter 28. And that's where Samuel said to Saul, why has you disquieted me to bring me up? Saul was dead. And he said, I want you to know this, that tomorrow you and your sons are going to be with me. Well, where was Samuel? He was dead. He was in the realm of the disembodied spirit. But he told Saul, now tomorrow you and your sons are going to be where I am. I do not believe at all that Samuel went to a place of punishment. Neither do I believe that Saul, who turned his back on God, went to heaven. So how could they ever be together? They were together in that place where there is the disembodied spirits, that is, in Hades. Now, in Luke, the 16th chapter, the rich man and Lazarus were in that unseen world in Hades. They were in different states in that unseen world. And they were separated, according to Jesus now, by a gulf. Someone says, well, what was that gulf? I have no idea because that's not been revealed. Remember, I said the secret things belong to God. I'm just telling you all that has been revealed. They could see each other. The rich man saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And he wanted Lazarus to come and to help him, to give him just a little drop of water on his tongue. Or he wanted Lazarus to go back and tell his brothers to change their lives. But the request was denied. But he could not cross that gulf. One was happy. The other was not very happy. He was in a place of torment. But it seems to indicate that they know what their verdict is going to be at the end of time. Someone says, well, if all of that is true, Brother Lambert, what is the purpose for the judgment? And there will be a judgment. There'll be a day when we will all give an account of our lives, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Romans chapter 14 and 12 says that every one of us will give an account of himself to God. So there will be a day of accounting. And this is going to be the greatest day that there has ever been in the history of the world. So what will be the purpose on that occasion? Well, the righteous will receive their reward. Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. And that statement is also made in verse 23. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Sentence will be passed upon the ungodly, and they will receive their destiny. The destiny, you'll be a sheep or you'll be a goat when you get to the judgment. But that's when final sentence will be pronounced. What we need to do is to prepare for the inevitable things of life, and we need to make sure that we are right with God and prepare to meet Him in death. Are you saved? Jesus said, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. I'd urge you to think seriously about your soul, where you will be 10,000 times 10,000 years from now. I want to thank you for watching today. I want to urge you to call for the Bible course, and until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.